touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
Welcome to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton. I love that opening, man. I do. I know it. I know. It's the ego that's just
hold
fucking
on.
Right.
Hold on. You're going to pat yourself on the back real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, I told you. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. That's why I did it.
Let me guess. That was
Nick,
your idea?
All the cameras running? All the cameras running? Wow. See, people know what they're doing around here. Not me. But anyway, everybody, we have a great show today. We have Mike, Sam, Nick sat in the background, and we have Laura Bomolowski, who is a, we're all working on a project here. We're working on a parenting program that I'm doing in August at the Rosen. Is it Rosen, Laura?
Rosen? Yep, the Rosen.
Rosen. I've said it right. Okay. I was saying it wrong for a long time. So we are going to be going to the Rosen Center, and it's for parents, and we're going to give all the details about it. The website will be up probably next week, maybe a little after that. We were shooting for March, like the first week of March. So that's a good
doing
time.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have it done. And, you know, we're going to be talking about a parenting program that I did it years back. And why we're bringing it back is, one, because parents call all the time and say, what do I do if? I'm going to switch it to, do you know?
Do you know?
Do you know?
Which I like the catchphrase. We had a little bit of a talk beforehand about that phrase, and I think it's good. I mean, it drives right to the point.
Well, I love it. Take the audience out there right now listening to us. Do you know what POS means in a text from a kid? Now, we all know it here now, and it means parent over your shoulder. That means, you know, oh, man, you know, the parent came in the room. They have a couple. There's a whole list I have.
Wait. I got to say, I was a little green on that one. For me to be green on something, I was definitely green on it until Larry showed me that.
Yeah, POS. I got a little funny story on that. You know, I do
point of sale?
Well, there you go.
Piece
I said
shit.
Point of sale. I was going to put. There you go. That was what I was going to say. Thank you. My brother said, I said, Dave, I got this idea, man, for a great website put together, online POS system. He's like, whoa, what is that? Online piece of shit?
That's what actually I would have thought it was.
Everybody's going to think it's that. I mean, obviously. We are at the studio, and we are doing this show because we want to really talk about the parenting program. Because one, everybody in this room today is a parent. In fact, there's a few of us here are grandparents.
Nick is not a parent.
Oh, no, Nick's not on the show.
That he knows of, right, Nick?
Yeah. He's in the room.
He's in the room. Everybody on the show today, Laura, Sam, Mike, myself, we're all parents. A few of us are grandparents. And it's the grandparents is so much better.
They certainly treat the kids a lot better. I know my mother treats my kids a lot better.
I want to mention a few things before we even start. You know, I lost my kids when I went to prison. My daughter was 15 months old. My son was just turned 7, 2 days old after 7. And I got out when he was 18 and my daughter was 13. So talk about losing your kids and why I want to do what I'm doing with the parenting program. Because, you know, I get so many parents, and I don't even speak to anybody. You know, I've been dealing with kids since I got out of prison. People don't notice. The Reality Check program was founded when I first got out of prison. It's a great story, actually. I'll give you guys that. I don't know if you know it, actually, any of you. The actual story of developing the Reality Check program, I get out of prison. And as a friend goes, he's a golfer, Sam, and he goes, hey, Larry, I need a favor. I said, what the fuck? You want to break somebody's leg? Leave me the fuck alone, man. I just got out of prison. He goes, no, I'm sorry. He goes, I caught my 16-year-old kid smoking weed, and he told me, fuck you, Dad, where have you been? I said, your kid told you that? And now you got to remember what I looked like when I got out.
A little rough.
Yeah, a lot rough. I had those beady eyes.
You had the beady eyes. Yeah.
I mean, I was really now I got the loving eyes. I want to fuck your eyes. So I got out and I said, you know what? I'll talk to your kid. And you want to talk about? I'm not a religious person, but if you want to call it in line, blessed, something, whatever you want to call it, I had taken pictures of me in prison with mobsters, with guys with life sentences, guys who cut a person's head off,
guys that don't give two.
Not at all, man. I mean, you know, in fact, I often tell about this when I'm on stage. I don't want to ever see these people out of prison. I mean, you know, there is a space for prison, and because those people will get out and kill you. Right. I mean, they'll kill somebody, their neighbor or whatever. They're just psychopaths. But when I just happened to take those pictures and I sent them home. Why, I don't know. And because they would take stuff from you. The prison system, they don't play fair. So what happens is if they deem something not like they took porno books. We used to call them fuck books. We used to rent them for $1. 4 stamps was you'd rent a pornograph, you know, like a Hustler or a Playboy to do your business. And they took them off the yard. And there's no more pornographic magazines in prison. Oof. Now, they had grandfathered it in, you know what I mean, if you had one. Right. But you don't think when they shake your cell down
stock
or something,
went up when they did that. I went from $1 to what, $10 a page?
Listen, it's unbelievable.
If you had it, right?
No.
Right.
Listen, that was a business. That was an actual business, you know. Yeah, I remember you telling it, don't mess these pages up. I'll kill you. And, you know what I mean? So... Oh, here's Laura.
Laura's
I
here
love
too.
That thing. Well, Laura has a thing with
she
me.
She can actually take it, though. She's
she knows me so well. Laura's going to be here with Rude Jude. He wants to meet you, too.
Oh, great, great. Yeah. I enjoyed that untaped episode.
You mean the thing that somebody messed up?
Yeah.
Me.
That's fine.
But, got it now.
So I take these pictures together, and I go to the guy's house, and he lived down at Turkey Creek, and he had a nice house. He had a gazebo in the back.
So he had a son or daughter?
He had a son, a 15-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And the kid told him, like, fuck you, Dad. Where have you ever been? So when his kid told him when he said, you know, he's smoking weed.
Sounds like the teenagers.
Because the 15-year-olds know everything.
Well, of course. Right. Well, I said, he told you that? Because first, I don't want to deal with anybody. I want to stay away from, you know, breaking somebody's leg.
This is right after you get out.
Pretty much. I mean, this is still 2007, Laura. So I got out August 24th of 2007.
Wow.
So now I get out. I see that this is probably a month later. Because I saw Joe, Louie, my friends. And then a friend, you know, had a couple parties for me. People like know me and say, hey, lad, we're getting together. Come on over. And I was really raw. I didn't want to be around people. Because I always thought I was in a snap. But I end up... seeing him in the house. I go to his house, and he goes, he's in there. I'll wait here, because I didn't want him there. I said, you stay here. I walk in, and the kid was a big kid, but I was a mean-looking bad
person. I remember those beady eyes.
And I said to the kid, I walk in the kid. I said, you told two curse words is all I used the whole time. I said, you told your father where the fuck he's been? Let me show you where the fuck I just come from. Wow. He looked at me. And I didn't say, and then I said, I don't give a fuck what you do after this, because I'm not going to prison, but you are. And then you're going to see one of my friends.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's just looking at me. So I start telling him stories about a kid that was my cellmate who died, and he did a tattoo. I have it on my leg. People asked about that. You know that one, Laura.
Yeah.
And
it's a sad story.
A very sad story. And it's a true story, and of all my sisters. And so I sat down and telling the kid, and the kid's looking at me. And now, as I'm telling him the stories, you can literally see his mind changing. You could see him thinking and more, and he's looking at me. I was there for about an hour and a half. I didn't even know how long I was there. Mm-hmm. I get up, and I said, okay. I said, you either take that advice or you don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, shit. I walk out. The guy's at the gazebo, Larry, really appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. He gives me $100, and I didn't want it. He goes, God, no. He goes, do you mind if I give your phone number out, you know, to people who want to talk to kids? I said, sure, man, $100, man. I didn't know money. Hey, listen, I had the money
you
on
get
it.
You got some coins
now. Yeah, I got coins, man. Listen, I come out of prison, man.
That's a big spender for you.
Listen, hey, Sam, and the government took everything from me, man. We ain't playing around. So I end up getting phone calls, but the guy called me back 2 weeks later, and he says, Larry, he goes, I know you did law. That's what I was going to do. He goes, don't do law. He goes, you have to stick doing. My kid came up to me and said, Dad, I need help. I don't want to go where that man went. And it stuck. And he said, Larry, you just have to talk to kids. You got to do something with it.
So what we're doing for the Reality Check Parent Program is how to reach those parents.
The parents, see what happened. Exactly. What that parent asked for.
For, yes.
For me. Is what we're going to give. We're even better than that. Because in this parenting program, I did a parenting program right here at St. Joseph. We had 300 people. It was great success. Officials, all that kind of stuff. But this one's better because we're bringing in a psychologist, a police officer. And we did it in a structure, Mike. You asked earlier the structure. And yet, it is in my head. My head's whack, but it's in my head.
Yeah.
You know, the first day, it's a two-day program we're setting up, a seminar at the Rosen's...
in Orlando.
In Orlando conference. So wherever you are, if you listen to this and you want to go to this thing, we're going
to
have...
to get to.
We're going to have web pages. We're going to have everything going up. And what it is the first day you check in, it's a Saturday. But we're giving two-night hotels in this package.
Friday night and Saturday night.
Friday night and Saturday. So you don't have to get there early and rush, you know. This is really good. You can get there the night before, get comfortable, get up in the morning, go register. And the registration is going to be from 7:30 to 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
About 9:30, we're going to, people go to the bathroom. After that, we're going to start the program.
Yeah.
And the first person speaking is going to be me opening the program, just telling people what we're getting. Now, people are going to be getting a lot of literature. They're going to get bios from every person who's speaking. And I got the best speakers you can get. Yeah. I have a psychologist. I have a police chief with schools. Then I have a criminal defense attorney. Who, and then you have a prosecutor. And then you have a judge. And then you have me. So what it is... it's the process kids go through is what we're setting up. So the first thing will happen is you'll recognize the kid's having trouble. If you're out there right now in your home and your kid got arrested or he's just starting to act out, his grades are slipping, he's hanging out with the wrong crowd, he's cursing you back, or you find some shit in the house or whatever it is, that's the first signs. Well, psychologists are going to talk about the signs and what they mean and everything else. And then I'm going to...
we had talked earlier about... our kind of catchphrase is, parents, do you know? And do you know what age kids start making good choices?
Yes.
Do you know what to look for? And that's what the psychologist is going to kind
of... Well, not only psychologists, the numbers on that, because we did this with the Reality Check program, Laura. All kids understand right from wrong at a very young age, like 4 or 5.
Right.
You know, don't cross the street, but they don't understand the consequences.
Right.
And that consequence is dying. They know don't touch stove, but they don't get what would happen if you had no feeling in your fingers for the rest of your life. You burn your fingers.
Right.
But about 11, some are younger, some are a little older, they start understanding and consequences to the point where they start making decisions on the consequences.
Which is amazing.
It's amazing
and true. Yeah. I actually have a child, Lewis. He turned 11, and Larry brought that concept up to me, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago or so. And you know, I hear it say, you know, everybody's different though. That, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I'm really selective in what I really let resonate. Nonetheless, I had my boy Lewis, and, I could see it in himself, him starting to kind of question things a lot further than he used to, which was, you know, really in line with what Larry was talking about, as these kids start, learning things and start conceptualizing things a lot, more as they get older. And it's just another verification that, you know, Larry has been through it. He's definitely definitely gifted in that sense where I went up, you know, thinking I knew it. Do you know? Yeah, I know what to look out for, kind of thing. But that was one thing I didn't know, and it rang true.
We found that out, that actual statistic out. I don't even know if people know this part of it. Hey, mailman, come on in.
Come on in.
This is the real deal right here, baby. You're in the mail. You're on the podcast.
He's on the show.
Hey, are you with your boyfriend? So is your husband going to hear this? No. Grab a water, hon. Grab a water. You know that.
Water, whiskey, whatever you want.
No. They're federal employees. They can't do that.
Cigar, yeah. Bye.
Is it just me, or is that the first time that the other mailman did not come in? Or
he's on vacation. He went to Jamaica.
That's
Garfield.
Garfield, yeah. What up? If you're listening,
You know Garfield's great. He comes to me. He says, "Hey, lad." He goes, "I got it. I got you covered." What do you mean? He goes, "I got the girl. I told her she has to come here every day. You know, because they do that anyway because of mail." And so she comes in. She goes, "I'm supposed to come here. Is that right?" I said, "Come on in, grab a water, do what you want."
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the program, I was doing the program. I developed the Reality Check program itself from that first encounter with the kid. I started talking to young people. This is great. I start talking to young people, families, and they give me $100. I'm saying, man, this is good shit. I says, man.
Better than selling drugs or stealing.
Right, no.
Or stealing diamonds.
Yeah, you know I don't sell drugs.
No. Stealing diamonds. Good, but...
That I did. So what it is was, I started getting, and I go, this is great. I get a phone call, and I'll never forget her name. Jean Bandish, still know her to this day. She's a juvenile court coordinator up in Brevard County here. And she says, Mr. Lawton, I'm Jean Bandish with the courthouse, and Judge Ryman wants to see you. I said,
uh-oh.
Huh? I said, I don't see no judge. She goes, no. She goes, Judge Ryman would like to see you in the chair. I said, listen, do you have a warrant? I know the law. Swear to God. I says, unless you got a subpoena or a warrant, I'm not going anywhere. No. She says, I think you got the wrong idea. She heard that you talk to kids and have success and wants to hear about your program. I'm still nervous.
Still a little bit worried.
Oh, she's weary. Me go. Listen, when I got next to the courthouse, it started shaking. I thought lightning was going to hit us. Mm. So anyway, I go up, and in fact, this is sad too. I don't know how to run a computer, do anything. And my nephew, who's since passed, he was 24 when he died. Party in New York, Lynn's. Lynn's son, and so he showed me how to make a PowerPoint. I had not a clue what a PowerPoint was. Remember, I went to prison. You know what they had on the computer? AOL. You got mail. Sam, you still got AOL, don't you?
That was back with the ding 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 ding.
Here we go.
So anyway, I end up putting this little PowerPoint together. And it was a Friday. I go up there, and I walk in, and, you know, I'm nervous. I mean, I can honestly say I don't like it. I'm in the back. I went in court. Every time I'm in the courtroom.
You're uncomfortable.
Listen, every time I'm in courtroom, I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously not now. I actually testify. So I end up going in the back of the judge's chambers, and there's a bunch of people. There's Jean Bandish court people and the judge sitting there. And she's very nice. I got to know her very well, too, Judge Ryman. So I'm in there. I put this PowerPoint up. I just say what I talk to the kids about. Right. That's all I said. And it was about 10 slides. It wasn't even like mega slide stuff. So I'm done with the presentation. They thank me. And the judge says, would you like to stay for the rest of the meeting? And I said, no. I left. I literally
left.
I said, no, I got things to do. I get up. I leave. Now, that's on a Friday. So Monday comes. I get a phone call. And it's from Jean Band. She goes, she called me Larry, I think, at that time, because we talked for a little bit. She says, hey, Larry, I got to give you a heads up. Judge Ryman sentenced two kids to your program. What fucking program? I got no fucking program. I go, what the fuck is this? From there, though, I took the way I speak to the kids and broke it into four parts, which right now we have the highest success rate of any program, and that is data done by Eastern Florida State College. Not my data. And when I testified in Congress, they were impressed. And this program was recognized on the Florida United States Congress. And the program is four parts. It's my life. So what it does, it relates to these kids. They go, oh, he's normal. He's not some suit. He's not a teacher. He's not a, you know, a doctor. He's
You're not a fraud.
No, right, Sam, really. You know, right. No. What he's saying is right. Kids pick that up right away.
For sure.
And then
you got more street creds
cred
than us as parents, right, Laura? Me,
I don't know about you, though. So then the second part of the program is what's prisons really like, not what you see on TV. Because TV portrays prison as this, oh, tough guy. That it is so not like TV. It's worse. Mm-hmm. And not only is it worse, you lose a lot of dignities and stuff that I talk about. Then the third part of the program is what you're going to lose. And everybody thinks it's just my money. No, it's my kid's life at 15 months old. My parents, I got out of prison. My dad had Alzheimer's. I was very close to my dad, so I'm changing his diapers, and I was very close. And I blame myself for all of that. There's not one part of me ever says, oh, they're assholes. They put me in prison. I was a criminal.
But that's big, what you say. You took the responsibility.
Absolutely, and I think
a lot of people don't.
Right,
they push it off on.
I agree with
other
that.
Things, ADD or
whatever bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Listen, some I was BS. A criminal. Yeah. I belonged in prison. I went to prison. Now, my mother used to say, she understands, but she used to say, "But why does this person who got child molested get 5 years and you get all that time?" So there is a. Let's face it.
For sure,
the system's
right.
broke.
Right.
But anyway, and then the fourth section, everybody, is very important because it's avoiding and dissolving bad associations. How do you avoid and dissolve a bad association? And people ask me often, the kids will say, well, first thing I tell them is, listen, yes, this is about doing different things and stuff, but how do you tell a kid who's 15 and he's out with his friends, 16, they're just driving, and, you know, he knows that there's, you know, drugs in the car, maybe a gun in the car. And I don't mean they're bad kids, but there's something in that car that they all can get arrested for. And I say, listen, here's what you do. You don't go there and say, hey, listen, guys, I heard from this big fat bald guy, and he told me I ain't getting in that car. No, 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 it ain't work. You tell him, hey, listen, I got this girl on my mind, and I got to make a phone call. So you guys go ahead. I says, and then you call your parent, you call your uncle, your aunt, and I guarantee you they will get up from what they're doing coming to get you, and they're going to be proud of you.
Yeah.
In fact, Mike, that story went so far that there were four kids right here in Satellite Beach who got called. You remember that, Laura? They were four kids in a car, and there was a gun in the car, and they got pulled over. It was under the seat. Nobody took responsibility for the gun, and guess what? They all they got charged. It's possession. It's called constructive possession of a firearm by a minor. They all ended up going to getting little kind of bullshit records or whatever. But what they went through for that was unbelievable. And all they had to do, and I tell the kid, so one of the kids once, Laura, it was great. He called me and says, Mr. Lawton, I hear kids to this day call me. And because I tell a story about a kid getting his anus cut from the top of his anus to his. You heard that story, I'm sure, Laura. But a kid, and I heard the screams, and I tell the whole story. Yeah. And kids say to me, I will never forget that story. And it's not about forget, it's I want you to realize what really goes on in there. You're not being protected. There's no guard. You can't go to things. You'll get hit in a hole, you know, get a hit.
It's not fair. It is what it is.
It is what it is, Sam, and it's not fair.
And it's not to be glorified. Yeah.
No, absolutely 100%. Not. I never did that. You know that.
So the reality check program for kids was a success. And what we're trying to do in our seminar.
Well, wait. I know what you're going to say with the seminar. I know. We're going
to
be done.
If you go to that parent whose kids were arrested, the four kids in Satellite Beach, as a parent, do you know what's next?
I was going to go there next. But
I just want to put some kind of number behind it. I'm a numbers guy. How many kids do you believe you reached in your program?
Wow. Thousands and thousands. I have testimonials.
Just to say, you know, went through some of the archives that you have with some of.
Oh, yeah. Looks like we're good. Okay. Nick, write down 2305. To 2320. Sam, go.
All right, I'm back. So I was giving you a little bit of a praise, but I don't want it to go to your head
too
much.
He broke the systems with that.
Yeah. there he is. You know, someone said he was doing that on the show, that Ford show. People go, what is he doing? Is he in there? What is he doing that shit? I laugh.
You got to love it. No, seriously, but let's keep it real. You have done some good things, you know what I mean? You did your time. You made a lot of bad choices. Like you always say, people aren't always bad people. You made some bad choices, but you did your time, and you can talk about them, but the things you've done when you got out. You can relate to so this goes back to parents, right? Even me sometimes, like I'm green with some of these codes, but you know both sides of the gate, so it benefits the kid and the parent in a long ways, and just for you to give back, even though the bad choices you've made, you've made those bad choices, but you've bettered yourself and you've helped a lot of kids and a lot of parents. Does that make a lot of sense? So absolutely. I'm going to give you praise, and I'm done giving you praise for the rest of the day.
I'm done.
That's it.
That's it.
All right, Sam, you could leave.
But no, you have, you know, we talk about this with a lot of people like Ms. Bumalowski, and you have a very interesting audience. You can reach the bottom of the bottom or the top of the top, whether it's the guy who, you know, hey, let's keep it real, who killed his uncle or whatever, or the guy or the surgeon, you know, the Bumalowskis who, you know, they've only, I don't want to say only, but they live here. And that's such a great thing to have. And
it's
I've
a huge
always,
range. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's very important. You reach the young kid who can, not even the young kid, the kid who's making bad choices, or he can relate in a sense, but he doesn't really know where he's going. But with you, you've helped him. As one we can even talk about, Vlad.
Oh, yeah.
Vlad's Idol Bar.
Oh,
yeah. Not to get off.
You know, he went to my program, Laura.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's amazing. And that, and even when we did the video show, you know how many of those knuckleheads that,
No, you're right.
That wanted to be knuckleheads.
You remember that,
that
mate? Yeah.
Could have been in prison today. And they were like, you know what? Yeah. Larry did give me some insight.
Yeah.
So I'm done praising him now, but go on.
No, yeah. Keep going, Sam.
But no.
It does give validity to the program and to where he's at. And from a second person, a third person, like you said, it helped out a lot of questions. And I was wondering how many kids, if you ever had a number or whatnot, just because I know the time I spent looking at the program and looking at the kids' interviews and stuff after the program and seeing it made a profound difference on them. You know, so that, no, just fantastic. I just wonder if you had a number.
But that goes back to what we talked about. As a parent, sometimes they don't always, the kids, and listen, I have a 14-year-old and I have a couple kids, but as a parent, they don't always want to hear, you know what I mean? They probably think, it's just dad being dad. Hey, don't do this or don't do that. But if they hear it from someone who's walked the walk.
Yeah.
Or
we
could
have the same
road,
message, Sam.
Yeah.
Same
but
message.
He doesn't want to hear it from me.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. But they don't hear it. They don't hear it. And that's one of the things you're saying about the gun in the car to get out of the car. I know I'm going to quote a movie here, The Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
You know, when the kid got out of the car before the car blew up. And a lot of guys died in the car. You know, I kind of had that sense growing up. I kind of just grew up in the streets where, you know, I knew that kind of thing would happen. But as you're saying that, I say, oh, man, it's common knowledge, isn't it? But then I realized, no, it's not common knowledge. And there's a lot of kids out there that haven't heard it before, didn't grow up during that time frame. And so that was one of my big questions I was going to ask is what parents, you know, why should these parents want to come to this program? You know, what is that? What is the ultimate, you know, thing that helps out with these kids, you know, that's what I want to put over to you at some point.
Well, I mean, I could jump there, quick question, because you said that today, now, when I speak to kids, I love speaking to kids, and I still do. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine in New York, Billy, I know his kids for so long. I know Billy. You know Billy, of course, Laura.
Yeah.
And I went up there, and Billy didn't, he goes, I talked to, he had all the kids from wealthy families. They came and we sat them down and they were in, I did a program for them, a mini program right there. It was unbelievable, Larry. You know, you came here to get away and you did this program. And as I told Billy, I said, it does not matter what socioeconomic level you're at. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or whatever you're at. Everybody has kids, makes choices. But here's what I do now. I don't speak to kids unless I speak to the parents. Because what I've found out over all the years is the parents are, I'll never call them dumb, but parents.
Green.
No, not even green, Sam.
Well, we don't.
Politically correct.
Hey, no,
it doesn't come with a booklet. It doesn't
say,
this is what you do when.
100, especially what we're talking about in this, what we're doing, the parenting program. You know, like we said, did you know?
Right.
Right.
Did you know?
Do you know?
Or do you know?
Do you know?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you don't want to.
No, you're right. Do you know texting what the kids are texting?
Perfect. No, do you know? Right. That is perfect because truthfully me, I consider myself, I can, you know, handle both sides of the gate, but I've learned a lot of things. Oh, I don't even want to say this, but I got to say it. With Larry.
Gotta be Larry.
No, with my 14-year-old son. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just in general. It's like, come on, seriously. Okay, who knows what 99 means on text code from a 14-year-old?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. To me, man.
I didn't look it in. I think parent in the room.
Parent gone.
Oh, gone.
In parent the room. Gone.
I never knew that. And,
no.
And when I told my I said
clear.
To
in other words,
Xavier,
clear.
Which
clear.
Is
we
my
can talk.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, Xavier, you know what 99 means? He laughed. He goes, where did you learn that? That said Larry. And that's my 14-year-old.
Stop that friendship, Dad.
There's the essence. There's the essence of what the program is. It's these things that, did you know? I didn't even know. Like that right there was something I learned. And I think it's good. I haven't reached that age where they're texting yet. So for me, it's like, oh, well, now I'm ahead of the game.
You'll be prepared.
I'm already prepared. So.
And you know, Mike, even.
And that's what the program's going to be.
Even,
yes.
Yeah, so the parenting program is so much within you. I went back and looked through the archives just now. And I did videos with a judge, former judge, and criminal defense attorney. And do you know what to do if your kid gets arrested?
Right.
Do you know what to do if your kid is having sex with, he's 18 and it's a 16-year-old? Do you know what to do? Do you know what to do for DUI? Do you know what to do if your kid don't want to go to school?
And most parents don't.
No, they don't.
And they also probably think they don't need to know, but it's best to know.
Until the shoe falls on their...
Right. Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And
well, that's everything.
We all... No, and that's true. Even me, you know, I learned something new, you know what I mean, with my 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. God bless him. But at the end of the day, there was things where I thought I knew, and me and my wife went round and round, and I did not know. So do you know?
Exactly.
That do you know is a great one. It does resonate. I know Laura didn't like it at first.
No, I like it.
Now it's growing on her, I think.
It's growing on me.
Laura's not going to disagree with you.
No.
She's going to test it first.
Listen, no, I like it.
Laura and I.
You like it, Laura.
Oh, no. Don't do it, Laura.
We got a winner now.
No, what happens is, like, and I try to explain it to in this way with any parent or anybody. It's information is king. You know, they say that in anything you do. It's not certainly, it's information. The information highway, whatever you call it, you know, if you have the information, not only will you save tons of money, you might just save your kid from going to jail, or you might save your kid from bad, bad stuff, right. Something really bad. And I look at it this way. There's nobody. I don't judge people because look at me. I mean, I made more bad choices in my life than most people make in their whole, I don't care, 10 people make it, 10 lives. And listen, and you can rebound. I often tell parents, you know, and this is going to be for parents out there. If we have anybody listen who's maybe 50, and he's got a 25-year-old, and the kid is getting out of jail. You know, I used to get a lot of parents come up to me, man, my life's over. I got out of prison at 46 years old, in debt, penniless, nobody, and I come home with my mom and dad, and now I consider I have one of the best lives in the world. I have the greatest friends. I'm lucky that I don't have to live crazy. I really enjoy my life the way it is. We have great experiences. We go out with friends. We go to the Daytona Fight. Right, Laura?
It has zero
to do with money. It
and
really
you don't
does.
Judge either. You know what I mean?
Right. No.
Every walk of life. Yeah. Every walk of life. And you know, it's crazy because I've seen Ms. Bomolowski and around and I got to say this thing, and this is bad. has nothing but great things to say about you guys. You know what I mean? Even though we all come from different walks of life.
Totally agree, yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I guess we fall into a pattern, but some people can't figure it out. But when you have different friends from different walks of life, I think that goes a long ways and it helps you understand other people, whether it's their culture, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Some
true,
people
very
just look one way, you know, it's a one-way street. Mm-hmm. Until their child or their, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Do you know? Back you know, it's funny because I give that part of my life really to my parents. There's zero prejudice in our family. We come from New York City. We didn't give a shit. If you lived on our block, you were good. If you didn't, you were no good. Any story. I didn't give a shit who you are. You know, it didn't matter if you were a Martian. If you lived on our block, you're good. So it had nothing, it had zero to do with color. And my dad, you know, never did I even hear the N-word. Or did I ever hear, I mean, my parents come in New York City. It was just a melting pot.
Well, everybody's in New York City, right?
Right. It's every a melting walk, pot, Sam. It's the biggest melting pot in the world. Absolutely. And I think that's just part of what we did. Now, we were all criminals. But, you know, that's not good.
Here we go. Not all.
No, not all. But, you know, you asked me about numbers,
Mike.
And I just want to say this. You know, I was asked that number. I was actually testifying in Congress. I was on a board for what they call the Weed and Seed Program. The Weed and Seed Program is a government entity. Now, the government entity is, it was a big program by the Department of Justice, and it's called the Weed and Seed. They had like a $40 or $50 million budget every year. And what they did, Sam, is they would go into a neighborhood, weed out the drug dealers, weed out the negative, weed out the robbers, you know, the criminals, and then seed programs like my program. My program is in Dallas, in a couple of places, because it was vetted and authorized by the Department of Justice.
Right.
So what happened I was on this board once, and I get up. You know those big government tables and shit? You ever see big government tables?
Yeah, you're sitting at the end of the table, and they're looking down at you.
Well, yeah, no, it's not a table. It's a big conference. Yeah, I mean, you know, like 20 people at it or whatever. Yeah. And I was sitting at it, and one of the police chiefs or somebody, you know, on this board, we're talking about budgeting and stuff, and he says, you know, some of these kids we just got to give up on. Whoa. I got up, Sam. You know, I don't give a shit. No, it's the way I am.
We know.
And I get up. I took my phone. I slam it on the deck. Now, at that time, I was 270. But they're looking at me like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And I says, hold on. I say, see this phone? Who in this room? I can tell you how long ago it was. It was 12 years ago because my daughter's 27. She was 15. I said, who in this room could program their phone? And I think it was a BlackBerry even. Who in this phone could program their phone quicker than their 15-year-old kid? Everybody gets quiet. I says, here's what happens. Me, I take the phone, I open the book, hit the button, boom, hit the button, it works. Okay, look, goes. Here's what my daughter does. Takes the phone, buzz this, reboots it. What does that show us? It shows that they learn differently. It shows that our way is not always the right way
best. I had to learn that way. Yeah.
Right.
And I think
all I knew
parents,
what I grew up with.
Right. So what I was getting at is when I was at these government things and I'm looking at kids, because I really, that's why I want to tell parents, anybody out there, even if you're not a parent, your life's not over no matter what. We have a friend of ours had some hiccups. Their life is not over. It's a hiccup. You move on. You know what? You make the best of it. And, you know, you'll be surprised how you can bounce back. Look at me. Got out of prison, and I got a bad record. And you can...
Bad?
Very bad. But also, Laura, so what happened was I had to... All right, Sam. I had to testify. So I was... those rooms in Congress are pretty cool. So you go in, like, these sub-rooms or whatever, and you're sitting there, you're testifying, you got a table and shit, and I'm like... And I was never, and to this day, I'm never scared to speak. I don't care how many, I spoke to 500 kids and 500 families. I don't give a shit. I don't care. If it's either going to like me or not.
But you're passionate.
Oh, no. Right. Oh, no. You know what I meant is I don't get scared. Oh, I'm going to say, I don't give a shit who I was in front of. And I got there, and they were nice, obviously, and asked questions. And so one of the questions were, Mr. Lawton, my numbers, listen to these numbers by Florida College. We had a 90% success rate and none of the kids that ever went to my program going back to jail or getting in trouble with the law. 90%. Mm-hmm. 70% had better attitudes, and that's by the parents.
That's the key.
The third one was 43% had better school grades, and 31% had better school attendance. Now, I didn't do those numbers.
Sign me up. I'm ready.
Right. for real. Yeah. So... they said to me, they go, we had the highest numbers of any programs they've seen. And I said, I didn't do it. And they go, no, you must be very proud of those numbers. I said, you know, I am proud of them. But here's the number I'm proud of more. I said, I don't know it. I says, but how many kids went to my program and did not get into the car with the kid with drugs, did not get into that car and get in a wreck or DUI or something? Right. Don't know it, but it's a real number. So when you say that number, like, what is that number? I could tell you, I don't know, over 5,000 or more than that went through my programs, through schools and where I've been. And that number, how many actually heard me speak? I spoke at the whole big school system in North Carolina under the DARE program. And I walked in. It was a great program. They had the whole school, 400-something kids and parents and the gym. And they walked me in with chains and shackles.
Nice.
Are you allowed it? I can't see you.
No, Laura, I told the cops.
I want to see you.
Sam, I got a video of it. I got a video of it. Yeah. Hey, listen to what happened, Laura. I go up there, and you know how I am.
I do.
And the only thing that ever happened to me worse than that was Laura taking my food, but that's a whole nother story.
So anyway,
we're going in there. No, that was a funny story. We got to tell
it. I don't think it was worse.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But we go up, and I said, okay. I told the cop next to me, now you better have your fucking key ready.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And if I even blink or fuck, you better get me out of these here because I will freak. And then it's going to be bad. And they walked me because they had to walk me out. So the whole place gets silent. Like I'm up. And you know, I had my red shirt on.
Oh,
and
sure.
All that.
Yeah, your tattoos.
Yeah, and I walk out.
You're
and,
a pretty scary character.
Yeah.
Right. No, because I don't yell. I've never yelled in a program.
No, but you have a loud voice. You have that.
Oh, yeah, I do have
you
a loud
You have a naturally,
voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, project. For sure.
Project. No, no, there's no question.
Well, you've been there, too. I mean, you're not just talking. I mean, you physically walk the walk.
That
I mean,
is
yeah.
what happened.
That is.
And I got out of these, you know, the cops let me out, and they went back, and they were all on the wall, and we had a lot of them. And I looked at the kids, and I said, I'm looking around this room, and I'm wondering who, because there's a number here, is going to be in these shackles soon. They all got super quiet. I said, look to your right. Look to your left. Is he going to jail or you going to jail? You see them turn their heads. And I said, because you all know who's what's doing what. You know who's selling. You know who's doing this. You know who's robbing. You know who's bringing lean. All the drugs. Parents don't know a lot of this. They're going to learn that in this program. Parents are going to learn so much if they come to this parenting seminar. Because do they know what lean is? Do they know how kids are bringing it to school? Do they know I dealt with a kid right here in our community, 12 years old, selling Oxycontin at Indian Atlantic Elementary School. 12 years old, selling Oxycontin.
I don't think any parent could realize that.
Well,
until they, like
it's them.
Say, until
it's
until
them.
It's happened to,
and
you
it's
know
them.
What I mean? And right. I have a friend who actually, and I'll tell you a little quick story.
Yeah, please.
He's a doctor. We used to always talk about, we used to always go out to the Johns and have drinks and the pharmaceutical reps would wine us and dine us just for them to sell their.
That's why you went.
Yeah, they're dry.
Yeah, you know, we drink and, you know, $3,000 bill and the pharmaceutical rep picks it up and then we're like, well, what
that's
he's
good, Mike.
He's trying to.
Yes, I know.
He's trying to push oxycodone. So the doc, you know, a lot of people had to sell it. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, and then about 6 months later, his son gets in trouble for that. And then he had to go through the system. Did you know? And he came to me and he goes, Sam,
you
were right. He goes, until I had to walk that walk, because I've always lived a certain type, never thought it would happen to me,
right.
It's finally hit home. Mm-hmm. You know, and for him to admit that, it goes a long ways.
Did you know?
Right.
You know, and doctors, yeah, and you know, you said something earlier with John and Laura and my, you know, John and I are best friends. People know that. And
I don't know if he wants to claim you, but
I think he will.
Will he, Laura?
I hope he does. Laura, you're in there too, Laura.
Yeah, I know.
I think you'd claim
I think they feel sorry for you.
Oh, fuck that shit. Oh, man.
Pity.
This is a parenting program. But they feel sorry for
you. Oh, this, I'm the kid.
You are.
No.
That's why they relate, right?
It's funny because, you know, people used to think, what's going on? Like, you know, I won't say it on a parenting show. But it's funny because they're regular people, and that's what I think people don't get. They might see somebody who's a surgeon and a top-notch surgeon, and but he's a regular guy. I don't look at him like
and
a
look
surgeon.
Down on you. No, know, there's a lot. Well, trust me, there's a lot of people out there like
and
that.
Going
Let's
back to
real.
Sam's friend when his son became part of the
choices.
System. That's the part we don't know as parents. When you can say, "Do you know what happens?" Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. And it's not something you talk about. Oh, hey, Buster
right.
got arrested
not a
the
great
other day.
Conversation.
You know, this is what happened.
Right. We all have kids here. Now, I'll say it right here. My daughter gets arrested. I give her money. I'm living up near the mall at a house. Do you remember that house that had that big house?
Over there, yeah.
Yeah, near. So I got this house, and my daughter comes up, and she's 15, and I give her $50, go to the mall. I leave. They don't want to tell me what happens because she shoplifts in Spencer's. Or whatever. So, all right. So what we were talking about earlier before we took a quick break to go to the bathroom, the program we're doing, the parenting program we're doing, and the reason it's so special this time, more so, I was telling you when I first originally started the program, the parenting program, I did those sections. We are having such important people at this event because how many parents can sit there and say they know what to do when the cops knock on your door with your kid?
It and might why, not why be, is that important?
Well, Mike, first of all, it could cost you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's the one part. How about the other part? You say something stupid and incriminate your kid in front of me. Let me tell you a little thing with the law. never let a cop in your house.
And is that against the law not to let him in your house?
No. You're allowed, you don't have to let him. Here's why you never let a cop in your house. It's called the plain sight doctrine. If you let a cop in your house, just say, matter of fact, when I was a criminal, my wives knew this. They'd come to the door looking for me or whatever. And I remember I had a warrant out for me, and they didn't know where I was. So I was in the house going up. I had a pretty big house. So I was going, and then there was stairs going up to the next level. And I'm around the thing, and they got a warrant out for me. Now, the two DTs come to the door, and they say, knock on the door, and Miss Lawton.
Tell them what the DT stands for.
Detectives.
Do you know?
Some do you know?
Right.
Very good, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam, how'd you know?
I got some brothers.
Oh,
I have six brothers and two sisters.
Oh, that was quick. That was quick.
Rough around the edges, but go
ahead. That's not you. That was quick. Anyway, so he comes to the door and says, Miss Lawton, can we come in? We'd like to ask you a few questions. She goes, no, I'll come out. Oh, no, we just want to come in. And have you seen Larry? She goes, no, I'll come out. I'll get my kid. I don't let anybody in the house have a child here, and I don't let anybody in the house. She walked out. Because if they walked into that house and they saw maybe a piece of my clothing, something that they can relate to me, or especially drugs or anything in that house that could be illegal, they can arrest you for it. It's called the plain sight doctrine.
And
if you invite them in,
yeah, and don't get us wrong, not all are bad, but you know, there's just a fine line there. It goes back to, do you know what's going to happen to your?
Right. And you know, Sam, you said that's very important, because it's not about right. They could be good
right
guys.
Exactly.
If they're doing the job, and you need to at least represent your family or your son or daughter. I'm not saying you're not going to kick his ass.
Right.
But you need to at least know what can really put him in more jeopardy and maybe move
right, because
down.
The kid, and we're going back to kids, right? We don't want that kid to be scarred for life because he made a bad choice. Right. So do you know, do the parents know what they should do at that time, or anyone at that time
right.
and situation?
Do you know is the best tagline.
Perfect.
Because I don't think people know about the criminal justice system. They don't know about, like you said,
because
Laura,
they've never lived it or
right,
had to go through
or had to go.
Does it make them bad?
No.
Absolutely not. Matter of fact, it makes me want to help them more.
Right.
Because everybody makes bad choices.
I'm
listen
just trying to find out, like, you know, who would be best suited for the program. You know, parents whose children are experiencing some trouble with the kids, or maybe they think they are. I
mean, how about both?
Well, exactly, because the kid's going to be a kid and they're going to make bad choices. Mm-hmm. They're not, because we haven't always made the best choices.
Right.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? So we're all going to have that little hiccup. It's if we learn from the hiccup.
Bingo.
Do you know
right.
what to do in a situation?
Well, you just said
it
something good about that.
Right?
You said, Mike, when you said who should go, you know, I run the gamut. And I run that because I talked about somebody who went to prison is getting out. Now you're going to hear from me. And at the end of our program, you're going to have all of these speakers, all of us, prosecutors, psychologists, criminal defense attorney, a judge, myself, six of us. We're going to have a question and answer, open house, and afterwards. And at night on
Saturday night.
Sunday, I'm going to have a private dinner with some people. And then Sam and you and Laura, or a lot of people are going to be mingling. And the speakers, we're going to be mingling with the people at the function. So they're going to get to talk and you're going to get more knowledge in this 2 days than you can even imagine.
Yeah.
The cost of this is not going to be crazy. I mean, for what we're getting. I mean, obviously it's not $20 or $100. It's an expensive program, but not that expensive. Laura,
but it goes back to, but for what you're getting though is $1,500 worth your son or your daughter's the rest of their lives, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
To not be buried, I guess you could say.
You know, I look at that.
Beneficial.
What's the best, like you said,
yeah.
Someone said to me, I go, listen, if you take, like when I get hired to do a testifying in court, and I could save a family 3 or 4
best
years.
Best investment ever.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
much is that worth for your kid's life?
Yeah,
for
sure.
That family we talked about, Laura, we knew.
Yeah.
That ate me up for a bit.
It did.
Because
mm-hmm.
I got mad because all
right.
they had, especially when you know me.
Yes.
Homie.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not looking at you bad. Don't hide from that shit. Get the help you need.
It's just a knowledge of the system of A to B to C. It it just doesn't exist because that's not what we do.
And me, that I've ran and I've dealt with thousands of kids. So when I talk to you as a parent and I say, they go, what do I do when this kid is just driving me? I want to pull my hair out. Hold on. Give you a quick thing. A lot of parents do this. They automatically punish crazily. Let me give you a little quick story. So my daughter, at 15 years old, I reach over and I grab her phone. People, parents, well, you can't do that. Go, what? That's my phone. I paid for it. So I literally reached over, grabbed her phone. She's looking at me because she came up to me because she was giving her mother a little trouble. I look at her phone. The first thing I see is a naked picture Uh-oh. Of her breast. And I'm like,
That's not a naked picture, but it's bad. It's her breast.
Sam, it's your daughter? 15. It's your daughter?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went nuts. But I didn't. Knowing what I know, most parents go crazy. And I often tell parents, the first tip with a parent is, you do not have to give out a punishment immediately. There's no time frame. There is a delayed, they call it a delayed punishment, which is not right. You don't wait 2 weeks to give someone.
Right.
But you do not have to go, you're punished, you're grounded for a year.
Well, see, that's me. And that used to be
me. That's
me,
too.
You know, and you overreact. That's a good point, though. And they'll learn that in the program.
Oh, yeah.
Because you... Sometimes emotions.
With the parent.
I agree, me.
Sam, let me give you more on that. So when I take this with my daughter, I had to catch myself. I do this for a living. I said, Ashley, go to your room. And she knows. Now I got the phone. I go through the phone. Know everything. Okay. I call her out. I say, Ashley, you know what I found? Yes. I didn't have to elaborate on what it was. I said, let me tell you a story. I says, we didn't have phones back when I was her age, but I says, Ashley, when I had sex with a girl or I did something with a girl, I told everybody and all my friends about it. And you know what? You either want to be the whore to school or you want to be the one who's hard to get. Now, you got to make a choice on what kind of perception you want to look at. And I know you, and I know my daughter. So I said, now here's what we're going to do. After I told this story, I said, you're going to be punished. You're losing your phone for 1 week. People go, oh, that's what? 1 week. You know what losing a phone for 1 week is to a kid? A lot.
A life sentence.
Well, even for an adult.
Well, listen what happens. So, obviously, she's around cleaning the house, trying to get it back. And I said, great job.
Smooth you over.
No. And I went, a week came. I sit her down. You know what you say? Ashley, now this is where this consequence-based decision-making goes. What happens? I said, Ashley, if you do something like this again, you're going to lose your phone for 2 weeks, unless it's crazy. 2 weeks. And you know your father's not going to give in. A lot of parents give in. Don't do that. And so she says, okay, Daddy. And she, of course, here's what she's thinking. Oh, my God, I got to go to this party after school. If I don't have my phone, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And then you know what kids who are listening to the show are saying? Yeah, I'll get a burner. Yeah, you get a burner, but guess what? You don't have your contacts in that burner either.
Yeah.
So what happens is...
Tell them what a burner is. Do you know,
do
parents?
Do you know, parents? Good one, Sam.
Tell them.
Sam, do you know?
Yeah. I learned it from my brothers.
Man, those brothers
it's
are
It's a throwaway.
Great. It's a phone that can't be tracked or anything like that. And it's like he said, it's a throwaway.
You have to tell them. Do you know? Some parents don't know what a burner is.
You're right, Sam. And so what happened, I take her... And I knew it worked because 6 months later, she comes up to me and she says, Daddy, still to this day calls me Daddy. She says, Daddy, usually when she wants money. But it's she goes, Daddy, can you talk to my friend? Because she did what I did. And I tried to explain it, but I couldn't explain it. I said, I will. But don't, no. I said, I got to talk to the parent. No. I said, listen, I'll talk to the parent. I know them. They know what I do. I called the parent. I go, I'm not going to tell you what. Can I talk to your daughter about something? Larry, you could beat her. I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's because they know what I do, you know. And I end up talking to her, too, and I think I got through. I don't know. But what it showed me is I did get through to my own daughter.
Yeah.
Because she's looking to help that girl not do that again. Now, my daughter's I hate to say, street kid. She's from Fort Lauderdale. So her dad's in jail. You know, her mother's a little.
She has to learn things.
Different way. Wow. Absolutely. You know. But what you said, Laura, is so true. It does not matter whether they're socioeconomically where.
Right.
Because you had the same problem
absolutely.
With kids. Sam, and again, Mike, You're at that level, boy. You're hitting it hard right now. 12.
I see a lot of value in this program. I'm taking notes. That's for
you're
sure.
You're taking notes, Jimmy. So what happens?
He's green.
Well, no. Why
I don't envy him.
Why we went? Do you know? Do you know? I'm going to give five things. Do you know what to do if your kid comes home and you find pot on him? Do you know what to do if your kid gets arrested for shoplifting? Do you know what to do if your kid's in a fight and the other family says they're going to sue you? Do you know what to do if the prosecutor's trying to get harder sentence on you? Who do you call? The defense attorney tells you we get a guy like Larry or somebody else. There's ways to combat a lot of things, but people don't know. And what Laura said earlier is so true. You fall into the system. Right. You fall into the system, great part of a system. And you know what? You're only hearing it from somebody who's wants to get their feather done, whether it's a prosecutor or a judge.
They do not have your best interest.
Or even a lawyer. At the end of the day, he's there to make money, right?
Yeah. All right.
Some of them, if you don't know them, do you know? If you just a normal parent who's never been through a situation like that, first thing they do is go to the internet, find a lawyer.
Right.
That lawyer is only going to tell you
what he wants to tell you. Number one,
absolutely. Hey, he ain't going to tell you the case might cost you this much or it might cost you your son.
Hopefully, they have a fiduciary duty to do that.
Right, but
you're right, Tim. You're right. Yeah.
And do you know a lawyer that knows all the programs your state offers for these first offenders?
Well, here's another thing:
young adult. You know,
here's a do you know. Do you know you are supposed to talk to the judge as a parent when they call you to that podium?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A lot of parents go up there, and you know, courtrooms are made to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Forget.
Absolutely.
Hey, wait, go to a federal courthouse. Trust me, they're the big boys. They make you feel like.
Well, we don't want them to get that.
Exactly.
That's why we have a do you know.
You're right.
Before they get there.
Very good.
You know, right.
What I was getting at is, a judge, and I know, as Laura knows, I know a lot of judges. I hang out with them. I smoke cigars or I go to dinner with them. I know them very, very well. And we talk about that all the time. One judge says, I don't understand, Larry, why every family doesn't get you. Because it gives me a reason, what they call to downward depart. But forget that reason. The talking to the judges, you know what the judge is going to ask you? I'll tell you now. We'll give a little hint of kind of the things in the program. The first thing a judge asks you is, and this is once he's going his first arraignment. If a kid is arraigned, let's say a kid robs a car. Your son robs a car. He gets arraigned. First of all, they go to juvenile center and they can only spend up to 21 days.
Hold on. A lot of parents don't know what an arraignment is.
Right.
Do they know? Tell them what an arraignment is.
I'm not going to put them through law school either.
I know, but just real fast.
Yes, it's the first appearance. It's what you're trying to, they're going to read you your charges.
And I'm going to go back to robbing a car. The visual you have of robbing a car is crashing in the window and grabbing a backpack. When you live in a gated community and you leave your door unlocked at night and the kids are running around and they're just seeing if your door is open and they grab something.
That's called car hopping.
That's also robbing a car.
It's called car hopping.
Right. But
it's
I'm
actually
just saying,
a difference than robbing the car. Actually.
I'm just saying your kid is still out there.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Making bad choices.
You know, and it, once again, socioeconomic, different groups, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I try to
And they get caught.
And here's what happens. The first time the judge sees your kid, okay? Now, they're not doing anything, but they ask you questions. They are going to ask the parent. How is the kid doing in school? Now, you can lie, and if you lie, you will get caught because they have a clerk, they have people that look into this, and they're going to find it out. And if you can't parent your own kid, they're going to parent them for you. So did you know they can do that? Yes, they can.
Right. Do you know how to get them to go to school?
It's not even just going to school. It's actually how to talk to the judge. A judge is going to tell you.
But that goes back to a question they should have answered a long time ago.
Right.
How do you get them to get up and go to school?
Well, again, we're going to have the psychologist talk about things. We're going to have the police.
It's going to be a great seminar. Yeah.
All
the networking.
The more I'm doing
it. The conversations.
Laura, the more we're getting the program. This is our first official one here.
It is.
That we're doing with this company here. I'm more excited today than I am. And I mean that because.
He doesn't.
No, you know me. I am excited because I see there's such value we're giving. You know, the only thing you can do in life when you start a business, you do something with cigars, is you got to give value.
Right.
We give values with our cigars. We give values with the book. We give values with whatever we do.
The merch.
You know, the people at this program are also going to get my actual reality check program. Mm-hmm. They're going to get that too when they come. They're going to get information on all these people we're talking about, and I'll discuss it with you guys later. I know I'm throwing something at you because, you know, Mike, my head is always full.
Yeah.
A subscription service for people who go and they get updated information on a whole bunch of stuff, of new laws, new things coming out, new texting tips, new programs, new drugs,
new nicknames. Listen, for drugs.
Like you know, yeah. Obviously, you know, spice. People didn't know what spice was. They didn't know what when person takes spice, what it is. It's a synthetic marijuana that messes your head up.
Well, and Nick was mentioning how popular Xanax is now in the kids.
And lean. Sleeping. Lean. Yeah. Nick, they still doing lean? Yeah.
Things travel fast. I know there was the ecstasy, and then it went to Molly, and things just moved really,
ecstasy is
really
Molly.
Fast. So it is, but in my street, you know, when I was in the streets, it was ecstasy.
Do you know,
so
actually, I'm
going
to back Molly up and ecstasy? No, and I don't mean this to be smart here.
Right.
They're now using that for PTSD training.
Correct.
Yeah, the right place, the right
counseling
time.
Therapy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's actually the number one thing. Did you know they had military studies that's the number one thing to help PTSD?
Do you know?
Absolutely.
Hey. Do you know?
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
you can
so
see
should
it
we do
sure.
dates?
Okay, let's do a date.
Dates?
Let's throw dates, and we're gonna close this because we're gonna be talking about this more every.
I really want to get the excitement going and see if you can clear your calendars for this parenting seminar.
Yes, this parenting seminar is in the Rosen Center in Orlando, Florida,
close to Disney World. So
woo-hoo!
On the Sunday,
Universal,
Disney World.
No, not Sunday.
Well, the Monday, whatever day we're
Monday.
Done with.
Well,
it.
We're gonna
Friday.
Be done. We're gonna be done
Friday.
About Friday because they're coming in and they get a hotel.
Sunday
they're
evening.
Getting a hotel, Sam.
Beautiful place.
Ooh. Sam, they're getting and one of the top-notch hotels, period, in Orlando.
Absolutely.
And that's two nights.
There's
and that comes within that $1,500. Yeah. That comes in it. The hotels are $300 a night.
I mean, that you know me. I'm all about numbers. I'm about value. And I mean, as a parent, I'm looking at the price. I'm saying, well, where's the value in it? Am I getting what I'm paying for and so on and so forth? And really and truly, it's what you're getting for what you'd be paying for it is – you know, you get a lot more. I mean, just to go to an attorney and get advice.
Yeah, go to an attorney. Go to an attorney.
August.
Okay, Laura's leaving. Thank you, Laura. Yeah. Laura's just running out of here. I love her, though. Laura, is your car there? Did anybody car hop it? But what?
Tell me about the program.
August 19th and August 20th, and it's going to be at the Rosen Center, and it's going to be two full days. Actually, August... Is it 18th, Nick? Is 18th the Friday?
I think so.
Because that's the day they could come in. There's nothing going on with us. We might have a little cocktail hour that night.
That'd
thinking.
Be nice.
You know, a little bit.
Well, I mean, we're
Sam.
Always having a cocktail.
Well, and the thing about you is, Larry, you know, you're passionate about what you do, especially when it comes to kids. So, God, I gave him another freaking
compliment. Damn it, Sam.
But at the end of the day.
You're up to your quota for a month.
But it's the truth, though. You know what I mean? Because when you got out after you did your 12 years, I don't know if the man looked down on you and you said, you know what, maybe I want to do something that's right. And that $100 bill.
Right. That's very true, Sam. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, exactly. So even if, and I always say this, we can't save the world, but even if you helped one kid not land in prison or where you went, you've done a great job.
It's a win.
No, sir. It's a win. And at the end of the day, for $1,500 to do something to help your child, or your kid, or your cousin, or your uncle, or your nephew. Even Laura, she has such a big heart. She's probably the type that would probably go donate $1,500 to
someone. Oh, she is.
Family.
I think she said she is.
Yeah, and that's my point. She doesn't want to hear it, but that's the type of thing that if it only costs $1,500 to help your son or daughter or uncle or cousin or nephew make the right choices, or to help them make the right choices to not be hung. Stuck in the system. You know what I mean.
Not
stuck
only what
the
they
system,
don't know. Not
the
only
system
is this
can
costing,
be bad.
This ended up costing us a lot more money. We know that. But we don't care. We're still taking 10% more of that and putting it in a foundation.
Right.
And
that
you
goes
know
back
what,
to
that,
the kids.
Go back to the kids. Yeah. And Mike, you said it just there right before I close and get the show. Mm-hmm. And what does a lawyer cost? You walk into a lawyer's office. If your kid is arrested and you walk into a lawyer's office, how much do you think it's going to cost you?
Nothing. I mean, already can tell you it's nothing less than $5,000.
Yeah,
just to walk in his office.
How do you know that's
him? His brother.
Yeah,
your brother. Oh, that's the new one. His brother's got a boy. Your poor brother. He must be a bad guy.
Oh, he's a right. He's a little rowdy edges. A lot, though. But no, it's the truth.
The value is there, 100%.
You don't get me wrong. I'm not saying lawyers are all bad.
No,
but at the end of the day, they have a job to do, and that's their job. So if it's just like a Let's keep it real. It's like a car salesman. If my wife walks into Toyota in Melbourne to buy a car, you think they're going to feast on her? Absolutely. If I walk in there, I may, you know, I may know a little bit more than my
you
wife.
You do. You know the owner.
Hi, what's up, Chris?
Yeah.
But no, you're right, though.
What it is, and you know what I like?
It's knowledge.
What we're doing here, and I mean this when I say this, but I'm excited. I'll tell you why. Again, I don't know why I have to be the oldest again. But we have from my age to Laura's age next, and then Sam, then Mike. Yeah, so it is the – we're going to have a landing page real quick. We're going to have that up, and then we're going to have the whole thing up. And you, what you're getting is going to be amazing. That's all I'm going to say. From hotels to food to events with the guys, everybody's going to be there. This is going to be one of the best events Orlando scene.
Yeah, you meet some great people as well. I mean, phenomenal people.
Do you know where it's at? Where is it going to be?
So again, in case we got wiped out, reality check, realitycheckparenting.com. That's realitycheckparenting.com on the internet.
And, great pick. There, great pick.
Absolutely.
Investing into your kids.
Yes. All right, guys. 100%. I want to say thank you guys for coming on. You know, obviously we're going to do more of this because we're going to be promoting it all social media everywhere. Sam, keep up the great work. Cigars are going great. Everything's going great for the book. People are going to be getting the book. They're going to be getting the program. They're getting all that with this program.
The value is limitless. It is. Really is.
Mike, thanks again, Mike. Doing a great job with all the stuff. Mike's going to have this thing fine-tuned, and I can guarantee you with the this, you're going to know everything in that thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to get it all dialed in. This is the beginning, the first intro of it and everything like that. But, yeah, we'll have it up on the website, all the key points, and you'll get a bird's-eye view on what you're going to get in the program, and trust me, you're going to love it.
You got it. All right, everybody, this is Larry Lawton. This is what we call The Real Deal with Larry Lawton, and here is the outro like the intro.
Don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.